Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here I am, and a couple of quick little notes before we get into the next caller, who is waiting with a very interesting question. Before we get to that, someone called me last hour and wanted to know more about mainly places, restaurants where you could go to get Mile High ice cream pie. This used to be a major specialty of the Caribbean Room at the Royal Sonesta. No, of course not. What was? I don't know. I'm having a hard time remembering the name of that hotel. The Pontchartrain Hotel. Thank you. So, and the Caribbean Room. Anyway, I said it was ice cream of three different colors. They were peppermint, chocolate, and vanilla. That's what I figured, but I had forgotten something that was pretty important about this. It would come out okay, but to really capture the Mile High pie as it was, you'd make a batch of meringue, which you do with white egg whites and a bit of vanilla, and let's see what else goes in there. Some sugar, and you make first. You keep beating that until it starts foaming up on you, and then it reaches a point. Well, you know what a meringue looks like. So you put that all over the outside of the ice cream, and then you actually put it in the oven, believe it or not, to get a little browning on the outside. There was also, I think, a bit of cake, pound cake at the very bottom of it to keep the bottom from heating up the ice cream and making it run all over the place. So it was mostly about the meringue and then the ice cream, which I had wrong. I left out the important thing, the meringue. If you want to get this recipe, I have it online on my website, nomenu.com. All right, where were we? Was it James? I think so. James, welcome to the food show.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
I have a quick question. Two questions.
All right.
Really.
Take your time. We're in no hurry here.
Yeah, in no hurry? Okay. First one was about a neighbor gave me. I live in Jacksonville now. I grew up in New Orleans fishing and all. And we used to catch these trigger fish and throw them back. And he brought me some trigger fish. And we didn't know if they were good to eat. In Louisiana, we never ate them. They are
pretty good to eat, and in the places where they're best known, which is up in the Northeast more than any other place I can think of, they are often called lobster fish because the texture of the meat in a trigger fish is a lot like a lobster. In fact, not too many years ago, I went to the in the Grand Central Station. They have a restaurant that does nothing but seafood, but it really does oysters more than anything else. They call it the Grand Central Terminal Oyster House. And one of the things they like to do there is make lobsters and then trigger fish and put them together in one dish, and that's really brilliant. It's terrific. So if you can find any, go ahead and eat them. They are very delicious, I think. The problem is finding trigger fish. You will not find a lot of trigger fish around New Orleans. Not in the markets. Not even in the water.
Well, we used to catch them on the Gulf, but
yeah,
maybe not a bunch at one time. You know.
Well, that's why it's one of those dishes that if you have two of them, you know, what are you going to do with that? Well, you broil it and then you eat it, and then okay, what else do we eat?
Yeah. Okay, and my second thing was, just out of curiosity, I know you have a show during the week. Well, I live in Jacksonville, and I catch you on a Saturday on the Alexa, WWL 870, but I can't seem to get that one during the week.
You got a pencil?
It's 105.3 or something.
105.3
FM.
HD. Yeah, it's
HD?
FM. HD.
Oh, okay.
HD 2.
HD 2.
Yeah. So 105.3 FM HD 2.
Okay.
That's the exact address, and it'll take you to my weekday show every day.
That's at 3 o'clock at your time.
3 o'clock, and we do 2 hours worth at first, and then at 5 o'clock I leave for the day, but we replay the first part of it again in case you didn't get it the first time.
Okay. Well, thank you.
And a lot of people don't get it.
Yeah. I'm going to try to enjoy that trigger fish.
Yeah, well, good luck. If you can find some trigger fish, it's not hard to keep.
I can make a biscuit, you think, huh, with lobster?
You very much could. But if you want to go find out what exactly it's like, G.W. Finn's, it's a restaurant in the French Quarter. It's across the street from Arno's, if you know where that is. I suspect you probably do.
Yeah.
And they get those trigger fish when they're available once in a while. But ask them. They might have some, or they might tell you, well, call again on Wednesday and we'll get you some.
Okay.
But I know it is in the local waters, but not a lot.
Okay.
So maybe somebody who's
70,
more of a fisherman.
I'm 73, and I moved to Jacksonville to be closer to my daughter. And I grew up in New Orleans my whole life. And so I listen to your Food Network. I've been
there you go.
To it for years, you know.
I really appreciate that. Thanks a lot for calling. See ya. Craig is over here calling on the green phone. Craig?
Hey, how you doing today, Tom?
I'm doing fine. Welcome to the show.
I have to tell you, I went to Galatoire's 33 last week, and there was something on the menu that I had not seen in a restaurant around here, and I haven't had it in forever. He had lobster thermidor.
Ooh, that is a dish you do not see a whole lot. You're right about that. It shows up every now and then. It's a style. First of all, we don't have lobsters here. This is not a good lobster town particularly. But the recipe is pretty simple, really. It's pretty straightforward, and you can find lots and lots of recipes for it on the web and in cookbooks and stuff like that.
Well, the chef came out, and we guessed bechamel. Uh-huh. And then Gruyere cheese, he hinted that he put a little bit of that in there, too. But it was just, I mean, melt in your mouth. It was fantastic. Uh-huh. A little pricey, but worth it.
Well, the way you just described it, that does sound very good. I mean, that sounds like a classic old dish. And that's one from a long time ago.
Yeah. So anyway, well, I appreciate your show, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. See ya. Whenever you see that that word, lobster thermidor, I only learned this about a year ago, and I'm surprised I didn't run into this piece of information any sooner. But the word thermidor was the name of the month, the seventh month, July. You have probably heard that Julius Caesar wanted to change the name of one of the months of the year to his own name. And it came out as July. That's, that's his name. That's Julius's name, the emperor. But before that, it was called Thermidor. And that was the name for the month of July. And believe it or not, there's such a dish on a menu here over at Antoine's. They have it every day. You can get a three-way baked oyster combination. They give you two oysters Rockefeller, two oysters Bienville, and two oysters Thermidor. And that one is made with kind of a red, spicy kind of red sauce and some bacon over the top of that. Pretty good dish, especially when you get all three. So that's Thermidor. And our number is 260-1870. Doug is joining us over here on the gray phone.
Oh, hey, Tom. Tom.
Hi there. Step right up.
I'm back with you a little bit on triggerfish for a second. I do a lot of fishing. I don't go chase triggerfish. That's an offshore, fish. I don't fish much offshore anymore. However, I used to have a place in Orange Beach, a condo over there, and there was actually a restaurant called Triggers. And,
yeah?
You know, guess what the main course was there?
Well, popcorn, right?
Yeah. Buttered popcorn was the best. But then they also had a side dish of triggerfish, and they served them fried. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, that restaurant with the triggerfish fried, it was wonderful. Now, aside from that, I've never been in a restaurant any place in New Orleans that serves triggerfish. I mean, it's just not something you're going to normally.
Yeah, it's something you see every now and then. It does turn up. I love lots of different kinds of fish. And if I run into one I've never had before or haven't had in a long time, I'll almost always get it. And that one is one I know it when I see it. It has that really interesting texture, which will remind you of lobster. It kind of has the same kind of feeling to it, mouthfeel and fingerfeel,
yeah,
too.
One thing I haven't had in the longest time, and my wife and I ate at Clancy's a few weeks ago, and they had specialty night I was there. They had fresh pompano, and I ordered that from them, and it was absolutely wonderful. I've forgotten how good pompano.
Oh, it's the best.
I hadn't eaten it in the longest time, but if they ever have it again, I will get it again.
Well, it's a little easier to get pompano than it is to get triggerfish. We can say that, but you know, I think, and I can't get anybody to give me any information on this, or they kind of talk their way around it. But I think that there are two fish out there, both of which are being called pompano, when in fact one of them is and one of them isn't. One of them is pretty big, and then the other one is like one-third the size of that. And you can spot it almost immediately, because if the price for the big pompano is something like like a pound and a half or something, you probably have the big one. The big one is actually better than the little one. So if next time you will turn up in a restaurant and they have pompano, ask them how many ounces the fillet is. If it's more than say 8 ounces or 6 ounces, you probably really have something great there. If it's below that, maybe so, maybe not.
Well, the one they served at Clancy's, I can guarantee it was over.
Well,
I can
believe that, because those guys are very, very good at buying everything.
Oh, yeah.
Really, that's a terrific restaurant. Loved it.
That's my
favorite
place.
I could. It's a good choice for favorite. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for all the info. See ya. It's the food show.
Have a good weekend, brother.
Yeah.
Right.
You too. Yeah. Thank you.
Bye.
I've already done that. I went and picked up my dry cleaning, which is something I do every Memorial Day. It's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Call us and tell us what you've been eating lately. I've been forgetting to ask people whether they like grits or potatoes, because about an hour and a half ago I had the potatoes. 260-1870 is our telephone number, 260-1870. We will return with more of the Food Show after first, please, this. Hello, hello, it's the Food Show. It's 105.3 FM. That's one way you can look at it. It's also the Big 870, WWL. It's a pleasure being here with you every Thursday, every Friday, and, we're here on Fridays. Saturday and Sundays. Sundays, it's a nice time to be here, because we can talk about stuff at a little looser direction. Let's see. Where are we? Stephen is on the green phone. Stephen.
Hey, I'm going to get some clams and mussels, and I don't drink, and I don't have wine around, but I was going to saute them in some vegetable stock or chicken stock. But how do you get the sand out of the clams?
Run water through them. And while they're cooking, if you're really good at this, you can do it while you're cooking it. You can have the clams When you put them, or the mussels, either one do pretty much the same thing. You've got the shells in your pan, and you have the white wine and the whatever water you got. Whatever water comes out of the shells, keep it. Strain it first, but keep it. And you can kind of like jerk the pan a little bit, and that will cause a kind of sloshing momentum through the open shells. And believe it or not, that will take out almost all of the grit that you might find in there. They're not as bad as scallops, I think, have the worst problem with that. But mussels and clams, not too much. So there you are.
Okay, thanks.
Have fun. See ya. It's the food show. Now, there's something we don't see too much around New Orleans is clams. They're really, really popular up in the Northeast, almost especially in the Italian restaurants. And very good, too. Not as good as oysters, if you ask me. Keith is on the green phone here. Keith, welcome.
Yeah, I want to mention, Tom, there's a problem with your phone system during the week. I tried to call you during the week. I could never, nobody would ever pick up.
Well, if what time were you doing this? Say around 5
3:30.
O'clock?
3:30, 4. 3:30. I'm just saying check it.
Yeah, here's what we do. The show begins at 3 o'clock. It goes live until 5 o'clock, and then it's a rerun after that. So if you try to call while we're in the rerun, nobody's going to answer it because there's nobody there.
You're on. Okay, well, let me get to my question. Out of your 4 and 5-star restaurants, can you give me a few that you feel are the best value? I'll give you something what I'm looking for, like Vincent's. That would be one that's got 4-star food at a very good value.
Yeah, that is the great way to have just about everything. I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't have brought it up, but this is a widely held idea. People want to get at a great price. They want to get a great meal. I mean, that makes perfect sense. I mean, of course, that does show up in seafood more than any other place. But
okay,
you're looking for some other places that
yes,
get
sir.
That done, right?
Yes, sir.
The Pelican Club. The Pelican Club, it's brilliant. They do all kinds of things all over the place, and their food just is consistently terrific, and the prices are, you can go in there at certain times of the year and for like $60 get about a 4-course meal, and it's good stuff. That one comes immediately to my mind. Let's see. This is the kind of thing that it seems like I ought to be able to just spit it out, but to tell you the truth, I need to think about it a little while. I'll tell you what. Next hour, why don't we, next half hour even, we can put everybody on that and see if we can turn up a bunch like that. All right. We have some news coming up, and also I'll take a look at the tropical storm below there. It's the food show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's great to be here with you talking about the food scene around New Orleans, which is just a great scene, isn't it? I mean, we're that way all year round, too. The New Orleans Wine and Food Experience is going on right now. The Grand Tastings either just opened. I think they just opened, just like 5 minutes ago. What that is, in case you're interested and you want to have something even more interesting to get through your afternoon, this is a combination of dishes prepared by local chefs and matched up with wines from all over the whole world, really. And it's not a cheap price, but it's not bad either. I think it's $130 a person. It goes on for, I think, 3 hours. All these maybes you can get checked out by going to the website nowfe.com. That's the place you go. Nowfe, nowfe.com. And it's a nice event. You'll run into people you know, I guarantee you that. And a lot of nice people enjoying what has come out of the wine vineyards and out of the minds of the chefs, for that matter. It's a good way to spend an afternoon. the wine and food experience there, what they call the grand tastings. That's they did two of them this year. They did one yesterday and one today. They will probably get some arguments from some of their customers about both things, because for as long as that event has been going on, the people who are running it and the people who sometimes actually attend it, they have all sorts of disagreements about why this was done this way instead of that way. And last year, the whole thing was about the sparse number of garbage cans to throw your trash away. It was true. It just blocked up everything. They fixed that, apparently, but we'll find out what else goes on today. Well worth your time, one way or the other. The Greek Festival is going on also right now, all day today, all day tomorrow. And it's really fun. And if you're a gourmet sort of person and you want to try some new dishes and new flavors that you haven't had before, the Greek Festival is pretty good. It's right on Bayou St. John, where it meets with Robert E. Lee Boulevard. And you can get tickets at the door. It's only $6, and there's all kinds of things going on there. So, Mary, did you say? Mary, welcome to the food show.
Yes, hello.
Hi there.
Yes, hi. I was listening to you when you were at the French Quarter Fest, and you talked about, I'll tell you what you talked about. It was something about slicing onions, and it was dangerous. Do you recall something about raw onions and why it was dangerous if you did a certain thing with it?
I don't know what that would have been. I haven't talked about that today. I know that. At the French Quarter Festival?
It was about slicing raw onions and maybe putting it in the refrigerator, some kind of way it was dangerous to eat.
Yeah, there is a line of thinking about this, and I'm not sure I agree or disagree with it. I don't know enough about it, but I have read a number of articles that say that after you slice an onion, or even cut it in half, or cut it into quarters, or whatever it is, if you cut up an onion and then you put it in the refrigerator, there is a chance that certain things happen to it and it becomes unsafe to eat.
I don't know if that's true.
Because you know and I know that we eat a lot of dishes that have sliced onions in them, and I've never died yet, but I don't really know. I mean, I've read several articles about it, actually, and the more I read them, the more puzzled I am about it. I honestly don't know. I'll tell you what, let's throw this out to the crowd. Maybe somebody who has read a different article, and we can find out. Huh? What?
Why take a chance? Why not just...
Well... Oh, yeah, well, you know, that's my main rule. When in doubt, throw it out. that's the way we live over at my house. If we're not sure about something, we just pitch it and go.
And they use it right then and there. I've never seen anybody put the rest in the refrigerator. They cut it and put it in the pot of soup.
Yeah, well, again, I tell you, if you're not sure it's good, just throw it away. They're cheap as dirt. So what? Onions are not expensive at all. All right, well, nice talking to you. Thanks for bringing that up. That's a little offbeat, but that's okay. Our program, may I say a few words about Paran's Poor Boys is what I wanted to talk about. There is a new development at Paran's Poor Boys, but in another sense, it's the same old story. The same old story is what they have always done since they first opened over at originally on Veterans Highway. That was, gosh, 75 years ago, I think. And you know what else? The guy who started it is a guy who went to the same high school that I did, and last night we had our reunion for that. Okay, that's off the direction. So when you go to Paran's these days, you have the one in Metairie, which has always been good. You also have the one that's in Kenner. It's on West Esplanade, about three or four blocks away from Williams Boulevard. But now you have a third location, and it's uptown. It's on Britannia Street. You know that neighborhood that has several other restaurants in it, the among them, you have the Upper Line restaurant, and there are a couple others, the La Crepe Nanou. That's a great place to eat, and several other places. It's in that neighborhood, and they are doing all of the dishes that you have loved to eat over the years at Perrin's Poor Boys. And the main thing that they do that makes them stand out is that they cook everything in-house. They don't get it already cooked. They don't get it already frozen or any of that. They cook it all there in the restaurant. And that's why it's as good as it is. And they have a huge menu, by the way. It's not just one or two kinds of poor boys. They make so much different edibles there, you'll hardly know where to start. Perrin's Poor Boys, three locations, the one in Kenner, the one on Veterans Highway, and now on Britannia Street, just off of Upper Line. They're open 7 days a week, lunch and they're closed on Sunday, excuse me. They're every day except Sunday, they are there. It's the Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice, a quarter to the hour, more or less, and we'll be back with more of the Food Show after first, if you will. Hello, it's the Food Show, and this is Tom Fitzmaurice, and what I love to do is talk about food and talk about cooking, talk about going out to eat in restaurants, and I'd love for you to join me and talk about that all together. I'll bet you know some places that as long as I've been digging into all this stuff, I've been writing a weekly column since 1971, I can virtually guarantee you that you know about some restaurants or some dishes or some other pleasures of the palate that you could fill my brain with a whole bunch of things that I didn't know. So would you mind? Call me up and tell me all about your favorite restaurants, your favorite dishes that you prepare at home, or anything along those lines. We're wide open for them. Please do ignore the fact that maybe somebody else was talking about something totally different from what you were thinking of talking about. That doesn't matter. We don't care about that. You are always welcome to bring up any subject you want here on our program. That's what it's here for. So let her rip. Tell me everything you know. And if you want to know something that you don't and you have wondered for a while what the answer might be, call me. And if I don't know, somebody listening to us will know. You know, all this distribution of knowledge, it's a good thing, no matter what it is. Our number is 260-1870. I was informed just a few minutes ago about it's one of those words that it's in the jargon and I'm not a jargon kind of guy. But anyway, moving right along, there are so many different things that you can get your teeth around. I mean, literally. And this keeps on growing more and more and more. We have the Wine and Food Experience going on this weekend. It's happening, as a matter of fact, these very moments here. Also, the Greek Festival is going on Bayou St. John at Robert E. Lee, so plenty of stuff to do there. Here's what you will find there. They can put together a platter of Greek food for you. I don't know what the price is. In recent years, it's been something like $10. If it's more than $10, don't blame it on me. I didn't check. So that's just the beginning of it, though, because beyond that, they have all these desserts that the ladies of the community there, the Greek Orthodox community, they have been working for months to put together all these great little desserts, and that's one of the highlights there. There's also among the younger, and by that I mean maybe in their teens and 20s, some of these young people who have learned Greek dancing, and that is something to behold. And how, especially the guys, have the amount of strength that they have to basically pick up the young ladies who are in the dance too and swinging them around through the air. I mean, it's just truly amazing, just something to be seen. That's going on all day today, all day tomorrow at the Greek Festival on Robert E. Lee and Bayou St. John. And they have a shuttle that takes you back and forth because they don't have a lot of parking right there at the festival. But they do have plenty of it nearby, and they have a shuttle bus to take you back and forth to them. That's really a great event. Don't miss it. 260-1870 is our number. What have you been eating lately? Where have you been going? And have you been satisfied by any of the food that's come by? Or is some of what you have been getting seem a little bit less than what you remember? Let's see if we can figure this out. The main thing I see lately is that we seem to be, the chefs anyway, seem to be constantly inventing new dishes, which is a good thing. I mean, I'm not right away will I just write that off. But sometimes it's at the loss of some great old dishes that we don't even hear about anymore, and that upsets me a little bit. Although what can be done about it, I don't know. Maybe there's nothing to be done. Maybe there's no reason to worry about it. But Jerry might know the answer, or somebody else might. Jerry, welcome.
Hey, good. Nice hearing from you. Enjoying
the show. My pleasure.
Yes, sir. You were talking about dishes that we've been cooking lately, and yesterday I did a big seafood sauce piquant.
Oh, did you? What was in it?
Yes. Well, a friend of mine called me and said he had thawed out the wrong size fish, crawfish, I'm sorry, shrimp. He was he had 5 pounds of 60, 70 peeled and deveined shrimp. He thought he was thawing out a package of a bigger shrimp that he could boil. And he asked if, he said, look, he said, I know you make that seafood sauce because, so if you make some and give me a quart of it, I'll give you the 5 pounds of shrimp. So I had just gone fishing with a friend of mine last week at Grand Isle and caught a bunch of specks and reds.
Yeah, so lucky you.
Yeah, so I did the seafood sauce piquant using the specks, redfish, the shrimp, and picked up a couple of pints of crab meat and made a heck of a sauce piquant.
I'll bet you did. I mean, you had all the great ingredients in there.
Yes. It's
where did you get all this crab meat and all these shrimp?
Well, the shrimp was from a friend of mine who buys his shrimp and gets his shrimp from Doran Seafood out in Independence. I live out in Gonzales.
Oh,
California.
Okay.
Point. Yeah. So So I just bought the crab meat from one of the local grocery stores.
Yeah.
The fish I caught, and a friend gave me the shrimp. So, my brother John gave me a quart of crawfish base that he uses at the plant.
You can have all of that. Hey, listen, I'm sorry, I hit the mark. I gotta hit another button. But call us again, and we'll be back with more of the Food Show after first, if you will. This. Hi there, it's the Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. We're getting close to the news here. Ben, you're on hold, I think. Ben, you there?
Hello?
Yes. Hi, come on in.
Hey, man. You know, I listen about the chopping onions and all that. I've been cooking for 50 years or more, and I've just gotten comfortable with using pre-cut onions and peppers, like, from the store.
Yeah.
And now I understand it may be a problem with that.
I don't know. I've read a number of articles over the last couple of years that say that if you slice onions and then put them, I can't remember whether it said whether they were wrapped or what, but they went in the oven, refrigerator rather, and that some people had gotten sick from that. But I don't know enough about it to tell you that that's. Well, I mean, there's all kinds of things that are used to hold all kinds of ingredients for a length of time, which is why I keep saying over and over again, I've been looking for some source of this information, but I've read it enough times to wonder if maybe that's not it. WWL Radio New Orleans, WWL FM HD1, Kenner, New Orleans.